You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
September the 13th, 1925 was a red-letter day for musical precociousness, because the day saw the birth of a mature performer who started singing and writing before anybody knew he was there. Since I've been presenting these programs, there's one item of his in particular that I keep getting requests for, and I can see why. The song's very good, the performance is full of the excitement of a live show, and there is incorporated into it one of those snippets of songwriting history of which people never tire. I don't suppose there's much in it we don't all know by now, but the performance still stands on its own merits. It was recorded in New York and incorporates the history of one of the most charming songs ever written.
I guess I'll have to change my plan. I should have realized there'd be another man. I overlooked that point completely before the big affair began. Before I knew where I was at, I found myself up on a shelf, and that was that. I tried to reach the moon, but when I got there, all that I could get was the air. My feet are back upon the ground. I lost the one girl I found.
Now you may think that those are the original words to that song, but if you think so, you're wrong, because there was a whole different set of words written long before that song became public property. Here to tell you about it is a pal of mine, one of the leading lights at WNEW, one of the leading lights in good taste in music in this country, and coincidentally, the son of the man who wrote the melody to that song. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, Mr. Jonathan Schwartz.
Thank you, Mel. And it's quite true. The original lyric was written by, of all people, Larry Hart of Rogers and Hart. My father, Arthur Schwartz, was a counselor at a camp called Brant Lake Camp. This is 1923. And Larry Hart brought this lyric to him. They were both counselors at this camp, and they were writing songs together. As a matter of fact, Mel, Brant Lake Camp is the only camp with a score. And the score is by Schwartz and Hart.
I've got to hear that original lyric. Let me hear it.
Here's one of the songs from that score. I love to lie awake in bed. Right after taps, I pull the flaps above my head and let the stars shine on my pillow. Oh, what a light the moonbeam shed. I feel so happy I could cry, and tears were born right in the corner of my eye. To be at home with Ma was never like this. I could live forever like this. I love to lie awake a while and go to sleep with a smile.
I guess I'll have to change my plan. I should have realized there'd be another man.
Why did I buy those blue pajamas until the big affair actually began?
My boiling point is awfully low for me to try to be a fly Lothario.
I think I'll crawl right back and into my shell, dwelling in my personal hell.
I'll have to change my plans around. I lost the one girl, the one girl, the one girl I found. I guess I'll have to change my plan around.
Jonathan Schwartz, who wasn't born on September the 13th, 1925, and Mel Torme, who was, recounting the tangled tale of the genesis of one of the best of the Arthur Schwartz Howard Dietz songs. The other Sunday, when I was commenting on the ability of Johnny Mercer to write songs without benefit of context, that is, to produce songs out of the limbo of imagination instead of waiting for plot and characters, I was clearly touching on a point of some interest to a lot of people. The ranks of the songwriting business used at one time to be crammed with men who worked in that way, who had a good idea for some little ditty which arrived without rhyme or reason. Of all of them, Mercer was a supreme master. And what's doubly impressive is the way that, unlike most of the other masters, Mercer didn't have a special facet that he was better at than any of the other facets. It was his range which used to stagger everybody, and which one day will commend itself to the attention of the historians of the popular arts. When I first heard of him, it was as a purveyor of ingenious jokes like Glowworm and G.I. Jive. And to be true, Mercer left the rest standing when it came to that kind of thing. But he was also one of the very few songwriters, I think, who could be described as a poet, too. If Mercer the Joker was a scintillating fellow, Mercer the Philosopher was a man who could express the subtlest emotions in a few words. I don't think I need say anything at all about this next example of his poetic side.
The falling leaves drift by the window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the summer kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear old winter's song. But I miss you most of all, my darling, when autumn leaves start to fall.
With that kind of sensibility ringing in your ears, consider the next trifle, written before the last war, when the act of stepping into an aeroplane was still enough of a novelty for people to write songs about it. And in those days, it was still a new enough business for Mercer to have a laugh at the expense of the businessman pioneer, who perhaps misused the wonders of technology in order to pitch a little woo. The music to this one was composed by one of Mercer's favourite collaborators, Bernie Hannigan.
Life look pick, peek, always bred a beautiful cat. And another thing they love is a certain photograph. That goes for Time, Tide, Newsweek, every editorial staff. Over a beer, all agree, man of the year was the air-minded executive. He dearly loved to fly. He was an up-to-date go-getter. His lady friend was even better. She went along to take a letter just to be nearby. The air-minded executive would take off on the sly. He was the most romantic fella, and oh, the things he used to tell her. Above the roar of his propeller, somewhere in the sky. Foggy or fair, he would be there, meeting the square at the airport. Filling the tanks, phoning the banks, telling them, hold up the contract, contact. The air-minded executive became a wealthy guy. And so he wed his secretary. They settled down in Waterbury. And they commute by Stratus Ferry. My, they love to fly. Even as you and I.
Johnny Mercer singing of the air-minded executive, a creature of his own imagination, and yet we all think we once met him. The requests continue to pile up, and I continue to ignore them most weeks, but every now and then I have to disperse the heat by playing this next record. It's the song that comes from the show with the worst title since Piff Paff Poof, and if you don't believe that one, you check it out in the list of productions of Broadway in 1905. This one was called Carnival in Flanders, and believe it or not, it was the pretext for this.
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams. funny, but here's that rainy day. Here's that rainy day they told me about, and I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where is that worn-out wish that I threw aside after it brought my love so near? Funny how love becomes a cold rainy day. Funny that rainy day is
Jimmy Van Heusen's finest. Here's that rainy day, and how they managed to fit that one into a show called Carnival in Flanders, I'll never know. In preparing this programme, I came across a photograph which gave me so much food for thought that it's left me with a kind of indigestion. I think sometimes a photograph can tell you a great deal about a musician's thoughts and attitudes. Those shots, for instance, of George Gershwin alongside some famous older musician, Koussevitzky perhaps, or Franz Lehár, or Oscar Strauss, or Maurice Ravel. There's always that same look on George's face, a look compounded of pride and delight at having risen to such eminent company. Now, that expression of George's, an exact compromise between his famous arrogance and his equally famous humility, tells us more than most biographies. But does it always work like that? I've been gazing at a snapshot of a man called Isham Jones, an American Midwest ex-coal miner who became a successful 1920s and 30s band leader and an even more successful songwriter. Now, in the photograph, Jones looks exactly, and I do mean exactly, like one of those bit players in wartime Hollywood pictures who got cast as the chief of the SS in occupied Paris. For one thing, he has hardly any lips. And for another, what he has got looks as though they've been stitched together. The lapels of his jacket are so obtrusive that when he buttons himself up, his chest disappears altogether. His ears need sticking back. And most of all, his eyes have a kind of maniac glare about them. No wonder he became a successful band leader. But does the photograph mislead? Most of the musicians who worked for Jones said he was quite pleasant for a band leader. And one of his saxophonists, Woody Herman, who took over the band when Jones retired, always speaks of Jones affectionately enough. So it might be wise to tear up the photograph and use the music as a guide instead.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, or even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. Never be cross, try to be boss, they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. Baby, it had to be you, wonderful you. Had to be you.
And there isn't much doubt that that song, whichever way you look at it, is built to last. The melodic line is memorable, the harmonies underneath are strong and interesting for the improviser, the words are bold and simple. All of which explains why, although It Had to Be You is 60 years old this year, it remains in the standard repertoire. What intrigues me is how a man like Isham Jones managed to come up with it. The bare facts are that he was born in a small town in Ohio in 1894, studied piano and saxophone, and by the time he was 20, was in Chicago leading a small group. In 1919 came his first published song, titled Meet Me in Bubble Land, and people have been struck off the electoral rolls for less. And then nothing for 3 years, and then suddenly a minor classic. By 1922, Jones was still under 30. He'd written one very duff song, and was leading a reasonably duff band. No indication that anything of any interest was going to happen. And then this rich fragment of melody coming up. I've deliberately chosen a non-vocal version to suggest that Jones's tunes could stand up all by themselves without the benefit of clever lyrics. Billy Goodman's Sextet on the Alamo, music by Isham Jones, unheard words by two cards called Gilbert Keys and Joe Lyons. That's presumably not the Joe Lyons who so obligingly sold me chocolate eclairs in childhood. In 1923, Jones fell into even worse company. He wrote a song in partnership with the notorious Benny Davis, whose rhymes were so famous for being infamous that Howard Dietz once wrote of him, Heaven Save Us from Benny Davis, as an example of the kind of thing that Davis was getting away with. Now, in that same year, 1923, Jones tried another partner, and this time he found his soulmate, the same Gus Kahn who last week featured in one or two of those Eddie Cantor recordings. Carr was one of the very best of the journeyman lyric writers, whether in Tin Pan Alley or on Broadway or in Hollywood. Carr could always come up with the goods, and he must have smiled in delight when he heard for the first time the melody that Jones was offering him. But in enjoying the genial good spirits of this song, it is after all advisable to think back to that grim photograph, whose caption should surely read, "We have ways of making you dance," because in one brief biography of Isham Jones, compiled by the tireless Roger Kinkle, I find three ominous words which fit the photograph. Kinkle writes as follows. Jones, tough disciplinarian.
Everybody hand in hand, swinging down the lane. Everybody feeling grand, swinging down the lane. That's the time I miss the bliss that we might have known. Nights like this, when I'm all alone, when the moon is on the rise, honey, I'm so blue, watching lovers making eyes like we used to do. When the moon is on the wane, still I'm waiting all in vain. Should be swinging down the lane with you. Everybody hand in hand, swinging down the lane. The moon is on the rise, honey, I am so blue, watching lovers making eyes like we used to do. When the moon is on the wane, still I'm waiting all in vain. I should be swinging, I should be wailing, I should be swinging, baby, with you.
Swinging Down the Lane, written by Isham Jones and Gus Carr in 1923, is a delight. Sinatra was shrewd enough to revive it 20 years later, but a lot of the other standard singers also used it from time to time because it was simply so good that it flattered any singer who took a ride on it. What's of special interest to you and me is the fact that in the same year as Isham Jones composed It Had to Be You, 1924, he appeared with his band in London. Now, what local audiences would have heard is difficult to guess, but most of the accounts of the band say that the effect was sweet rather than hot, and that Jones had a knack of getting very rich ensemble effects out of the musicians. And the reason for that was the arrangers he hired. In the 1930s, his chief writer was Gordon Jenkins. And Gordon Jenkins said that the Jones Band from 1932 to 4 was really outstanding. But whatever Jenkins says, it's doubtful if the Jones Orchestra said anything better than dozens of others were saying at the same time. If Jones is remembered, it's as a songwriter, not really as a band leader. And his songwriting achievements really are freakish. To oversimplify, hardly at all, Jones had a purple patch from 1922 to 24. Before that, hardly anything. After that, hardly anything. But those 3 years were enough. Of course, Isham Jones was in a strong position to plug his own songs, and I have no doubt that he plugged the bad ones just as doggedly as he plugged the good ones. I see that he wrote pieces called Ida I Do, My Best to You, How Many Tears Must Fall, and one real stuffed owl of a piece called The Wooden Soldier and The China Doll. We have ways of making you listen. But in fairness, there was always 1924 to justify what Jones had done. If you stop to consider that Jones, unlike the Broadway writers, didn't have to write anything if he didn't want to. What he did in 1924 is really a bit of a phenomenon. He published only four songs. Compared to the output of a Kern or a Gershwin, four songs was nothing. The fourth one wasn't bad either.
Well, now the one I love belongs to somebody else. She means her tender songs for somebody else. And even when I have my arms around her, I know her thoughts are strong for somebody else. Yes, the hands I hold belong to somebody else. I'll bet they're not so cold to somebody else. It's tough to be alone on the shelf. Worse to fall in love by yourself. The one I love belongs to somebody else. What else? Yes, the one I love belongs to somebody else.
Man like the bear, you ain't nowhere, that's why.
She sings her songs to somebody else.
Boo.
And even when I have my arms around her,
well, Dad, you know,
her thoughts are for somebody else. And when I hold her hand,
you know,
they belong to someone,
someone,
somebody else.
And you can bet
they're not so cold to somebody else.
Well, it's tough to be alone on a shelf,
and it's worse to be in love by yourself. Like when the one you love belongs to somebody else.
Frank Sinatra, The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else, and the man spoiling things in the background there was surprisingly the very gifted orchestrator Cy Oliver. Now, just as inexplicably Isham Jones' songwriting career began, out of nowhere, just as inexplicably it dried up. Between 1925 and 1932, nothing. And even when there was something, it was that unfortunate song about the wooden soldier and the China doll. And then in 1936, around the time of Jones' retirement from band leading, one last shot in the locker. No Gus Kahn to write the lyrics this time. Kahn was out in Hollywood and had enough of his own troubles. The lyricist who took his place was a man called Marty Symes, who did a goodish job and gave Isham Jones his last hit.
There is no greater love than what I feel for you. No greater love, no heart so true. There is no greater thrill than what you bring to me. No sweeter song than what you sing to me. You're the sweetest thing I have ever known. And to think that are mine alone. There is no greater love in all the world, it's true. No greater love than what I feel for you.
The last of the great standard songs composed by Isham Jones. Anyway, that's it for now. See you same time next week.
You're the sweetest thing I have ever known. And to think that you are mine alone. There is no greater love in all the world.
You've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.